this policy.
I sit down on that one.
Well, let me, if I could, some great reporting has gotten ahead of where I should essentially be. I always try to make sure we're careful and respectful of the process. I can say this, that what has been reported is accurate in that it is under consideration. And we are working all of the things that you have read about or heard about over the past few days with our agency partners. The Chico Council will be meeting on the Chico Council next week. This will be on their agenda. Our staffs have been working. We're working with the Council of Governments and the states, Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. We're working with Homeland Security and other executive branch agencies that need to be involved in this. So we are, and our union partners, quite frankly, at the National Partnership Table. And so what we have now is a draft that is still under discussion and review with all of those players, and we hope to be able to conclude that within the next week to 2 weeks so that we can get this out and have a briefing with everybody. We can go into all of the detail and all of the appropriate answers on that. My hesitation to discuss a draft in the sense of, it's one thing to, have had staff discuss a draft, but if I'm discussing it, it can potentially be represented that the agency has concluded or made decisions. And so I want to be a little careful. If you could try the question, and I'll see if I can answer it, but with that in context.
Well, do you expect any significant changes, or where would you expect possible significant changes from what's already been reported?
Well, the two that are, three main ones that are under consideration is encouraging agencies, obviously, to continue moving forward with telework. I was just with Administrator Johnson this week, and they have come forward with a major new program to increase the percentage of their employees that can telework. It's a great example of how agencies can really put their shoulders behind this issue and help us, because to the extent we can have well-qualified teleworkers out there, we can maintain resiliency and capability of the government no matter what's happening, whether it be snow, earthquake, or anything. The other things we're looking at are ways to increase the speed with which we can make the decision, recognizing that there's a trade-off there between risk and, forecast. We're making these decisions based on forecasts. And obviously, the farther ahead you make it, the lower the probability of success for your forecast is. And so there's a balance there that we're trying to achieve, but still get the word out in plenty of time so people who start their commute early, we moved the needle 3 years ago to be 4 a.m. so that we could try to hit people before they started the commute. We're going to try to even move it farther. So we're looking at what we can do to improve the speed of which we can make that decision, and working with the Weather Service and others to still maintain a good enough probability but be able to make calls. I suspect there will be, I can predict there'll be times when we will err on the side of safety. And we may get embarrassed because you all know someone will say it's going to snow at 3 o'clock. And, the snow then doesn't start till 8. And people will say, why did you close early? We know there's going to be a tension there. We're going to balance it and always err on the side of safety. The third element of it that we've been looking at is, as Dean behind you there has mentioned, is sheltering in place. For those times when either the weather surprises us and something comes faster than the Weather Service is expecting and it's just too ugly out there to be safely on the roads, then we're going to encourage agencies to be ready to have and allow their employees to shelter in place so that if somebody needs to, the safest place may be to stay in your office. And we can't make people stay in their office. I'm not going to be, patrolling the halls with armed guards, but we can make that option available to our employees and hopefully then provide them again to that safest choice so that we can keep them safe and comfortable. So that's essentially the guts of it. The finer points are what's under discussion and refinement as we try to get this into, how we best communicate it, how we clear this through all the appropriate parties, which I discussed. So I think that probably gives you a good sense of where I think we are. Dean, have I forgotten anything?
No,
okay.
If people had a shelter in place, I mean, would the government provide cots and coffee and food and feed and all that? I mean,
Hopefully, if we're sheltering in place in this case, we're talking, you know, for one night or, you know, a short period of time, hopefully, until we can get to a place where the roads are safer or the initial crush on the roads has been handled on the mass transit systems and et cetera. So, you know, my hope is the shelter in place doesn't even necessarily have to be overnight per se. You know, it may be that, you know, working with our transportation agencies, if the roads are, you know, just delaying people to ask them to stay, you know, safely in their office environment until 10, you know, there may be choice, you know, so we're not going to be trying to keep people hostage. But we're going to try to work with to give that as an option. You know, we're not going to ask agencies in the time of declining budgets to run out and buy cots for every one of their employees. They just can't do that. So, you know, people will have to sort of rough it a little bit, and we understand that. You know, but federal offices, by and large, are pretty nice places to sit out a snowstorm. Although, hopefully, again, when we let people go early and say, boy, it'd be really good if you're out of the central city by 2 o'clock, people will take that seriously and not sit at their desk, you know, waiting for the first snowflake, because, you know, we all know that's human nature. And I've done it. We've all done it. And so
I'm a dinner. Coffee.
Yeah, you know, we'll work on those things. You know, restaurants in the city are still open, Lisa. It'll be good for business. Come on. I mean, there are vending machines. There are Starbucks on every corner. You know how this works. Every employee does. We also all have, thankfully, our emergency rations bag. And though people aren't going to just, you know, I don't mean to say, you know, boy, they can't wait to get into that frozen ice cream, but, I mean, or the dried ice cream. It's there. And if they're anything like me, they've got 10 Snickers bars in that bag. So, you know, people have thought ahead. They're supposed to have that bag. They're supposed to have emergency rations just for these type of events. And so, you know, those choices, hopefully, Lisa, we can remind fellow employees, you might want to refresh your goodie bag to get you through a night.
What about all those people who are listening to this and saying, sorry, I think I'd rather head home? At the early point when you're saying get out of here now, are there going to be like enough, you know, metros and buses, et cetera, to handle that onslaught?
Emily, you know, no one can promise you that. You know, a regular rush hour in this city is not easy. All right. Adding rain or snow or ice into it, you know, greatly complicates it. You know, we will try to make these decisions in such a way so that people can get home to their houses and families safely. And but keep in mind, Mother Nature throws curveballs, and we can't hit them every time. And so for those times when we miss it or Mother Nature just surprises us, we've got to be ready to handle that. And shelter in place is a reasonable thing for us to be ready to handle that eventuality with. You know, no one could sit here and say, oh, ask your own weather forecasters on any of the TV or radio. No one's going to say they can nail this 100% of the time. So we've got to plan for all options. That's what we're doing with this approach and trying to be creative and flexible, again, with the notion of safety. This is driven by safety for our employees.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if WMATA is thanking you for that right now.
Like, well, one of the reasons we're very careful and we work this, like I say, these are not decisions I make in a vacuum.
Sure.
Before I make this decision, I'm on the phone through COG with over 100 people, which includes WMATA Bus, WMATA Rail, all of the commuter bus lines, all the commuter rail lines. And we talk with them and we give them and we know that WMATA has morning rush hour crews and evening rush hour crews that don't exist in the middle of the day. And that if we're going to let people go early, I need to give WMATA time to get their extra workers in early. And so part of this is to, you know, you have to balance all of those equations. We try to do that to the best extent we can and hope Mother Nature, you know, doesn't throw a curveball like an earthquake, you know, or something like that, which literally, you know, can happen.